You're listening to Cairo News Radio Middays.
Welcome back to Cairo News Radio Middays. Jack Stein and Spike O'Neill. Mr. Rare Vintage Car Worth $90,000 Stolen in Gig Harbor. Did you hear about this, Spike?
No.
Do you know what a 1929 Hudson Super 6 is?
Definitely Super 6, straight 6, straight inline 6, definitely. Yeah. It's one of those, it's Rayman, right?
Dustin Hoffman.
I drive it on Tuesdays, I don't go left.
I'm an excellent driver. Man, that is such a good movie. So I guess this is a story by Frank, and it says that the car was stolen out of a friend's garage. Oh, no, this is what the person posted on the Facebook page. It said, this car was stolen out of a garage of a friend's house. If seen, please call 911 or message me. You can see this car. It is a 1929 Hudson Super 6. This looks like something Howard Hughes would go to the Copa in. Do you know what I mean?
That's an excellent descriptive.
This is not a discreet vehicle to steal, and I will say with great confidence that whoever stole this vehicle, if you're out driving around in Gig Harbor with a 1929 Hudson Super 6.
And I've got a Labradoodle at my side. He's got a beret on. Looking discreet, Mittens.
This is, you are not an intelligent human being if you have stolen that vehicle, because that stick, you might as well have stolen the Batmobile, okay? Everyone.
Seriously? Yeah.
Can you see this? It's on my Northwest.
It's on MyNorthwest.com. It looks like Bonnie and Clyde just left the Kansas City First National Bank. It's pre-bullet hold. This is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous car, and I do hope that they get it returned. If you see this thing, please contact authorities, because this is it's a piece of history, and it's just so sad that somebody would steal this. And also the fact that, you know, car thefts are up, what, 50%?
I guarantee you there's not a TikTok challenge on how to hotwire a 1920-some Hudson. This is not driven by youth TikTok.
I just can't believe people. You know, theft is such a, I know that people say, quote unquote, victimless crime, but in my mind, it's the worst.
This is somebody's heart that got stolen.
Right. So there's a guy who lives on my block, and he's disabled, and so he can't drive. He's got a brain injury from a car accident that he sustained many, many, many years ago. But what he can do is he can still ride a bike, right? Guy's name is Billy. Real sweet guy. So his parents buy him one of those really souped up electric bikes. You know, the ones I'm talking about?
Yes, I own one.
It can go like 20 miles an hour. Yeah. It's got the little engine on it. It's got GPS. It's got the whole nine, right? His parents are very wealthy. So they buy him this bike. It's like a $5,000 bike. Guy has it for less than a day, parks it behind his house. Somebody steals it, right? And so, Mike's the owner he's Billy's dad. And so he's like, luckily when I got it, the company that makes these bikes, they have GPS inside, so we can find out exactly where it is.
Yep.
It was at a homeless encampment. So some homeless guy must have seen Billy driving around the neighborhood, followed him back to Mike's house, watched him park it in the back, waited until everybody went to sleep, went in the back, grabbed the bike, and took off with it. And you know what he told the police, by the way? The police totally bought this, which I found to be nothing but frustrating. He said that he found it.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking to myself, what? I'm like, come on! Not to be all outrageous about this, but it was just like, you know, I guess some people just have no understanding of what they're doing when they steal things from other people. Ultimately, is what I'm saying.
It is the most personal crime. Well, not just, no, there are obviously far worse personal crimes, but it is
sure
to say it's victimless. Really, it does not do it any fair justice at all.
Right, and also talking about crime really quick, I did want to touch on this, Spike. I hate to call this individual a man. He's 20, so it makes me feel like I want to say kid, because when you're 20, you're still technically a kid, although in the legal system, you're an adult. This guy who 20-plus swatting calls made around the United States, did you read about this?
I just heard of the news. Aaron Granillo's bringing it in, and it's like, what cheap, ridiculous, psychotic thrill do you get from not just swatting people, but like promoting it and having people tune in to watch you swatting people?
So this is old internet culture. This is real deep old internet culture. So back in the day of Xbox 360, you remember those? Remember that you weren't there?
No, but I remember in the first. I have a kid who was a video gamer, and we bought, an Xbox 360. Yeah.
So the origins of swatting, it is, at least in contemporary society, starts back then. And it was this idea that in Halo, like Halo 2 or Halo 3 or in Modern Warfare 2 or Modern Warfare 3, if you wanted to get revenge against somebody, you would say that you were going to dox them or that you were going to SWAT them, that you would track their IP address back to their actual home address and that you would send the police over to their house. And it was considered to be like an empty threat or kind of like a meme. You know, it was just considered to be something that you would say to try to intimidate the 12-year-olds who you were dominating in Modern Warfare 2.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
so,
okay.
But somebody along the lines, some loon bags out there started doing it, and it was happening kind of sporadically. It wasn't a common thing, but there's a very famous case of an incident in Kansas City where. A guy was threatening another guy, I believe, over a game of Modern Warfare, and he got the wrong address. And so he sent the police to the wrong house, and the police ended up shooting and killing a man over it. Do you remember this story? And
no.
The guy that did it is a 19-year-old, I want to say kid, it's a 19-year-old kid who did it. He's going to do 15 years, involuntary manslaughter.
Wow.
So, point being, when you kind of think about why somebody would do this, this is kind of old, deep internet culture, really the darker side of internet culture. It's not very common, but doxing is very common. It happens to Twitch streamers on a regular basis or live streamers on a regular basis. Tim Pool is a very famous political pundit. I would say political operative, but he's a quote-unquote political pundit. This has happened to him several times.
Didn't they SWAT MTG a couple times?
Yes.
Right? I mean, yeah. And so full SWAT teams arrive at her home.
Right. So what they do is they say they pose as an individual at the residence and they say, or they pose as one of the neighbors. And they, if they pose as someone at the residence, they say, I have a bomb at this house. I'm going to start killing people. You know, whatever it is, unless you give me a ransom. And that requires the SWAT team to show up. There are actually guys who play Counter-Strike Global Offensive, which is a very none of this makes any sense to you, I know, Spike, but it's like a shooter game. There are guys, because it is such a competitive game to play, they have the local police in their town call them the amount of times that they've been doxxed, right? So or swatted. Because guys in Europe who are also playing the game SWAT the guys in the United States. And so the police departments at this point in time, because those guys have been swatted so many times, they just call them and say, hey, just so you know, we got a phone call from this residence that we're going to send somebody over. We know that you're not actually, you don't actually have a bomb, but we have to send the police over to walk through your house.
Good, great. I mean,
yeah.
So what do you do with a guy like this? 20 different swatting occurrences. And what do you do with the people who he alerts on social media and then watch this in real time?
Yeah. So for this guy, I'm so desperate to call this guy a kid because he's 20. His brain hasn't fully developed according to science.
We're not right? requiring young adults to grow up at any time.
Right, exactly.
You know, we're not asking them to be responsible and accountable. So why not? He's a kid.
If it was me, Spike, and this is going to be a controversial hot take. If it was me, I would put him in the military, mandatory military service. That's what I would do.
Wow, that's a great answer.
I know. So for a lot of these young guys, I'm saying under the age of 22 to 23, they don't need prison. They don't need rehab. They got to go into the military. And right. This is coming from a guy. The day I turned 18, my grandfather came to me with 5 pamphlets, one for the Air Force.
No kidding.
One for the Army. Yeah. He said, you're going to enlist or you're going to get out of my house. And I said, well, looks like I'm moving out. Oh. So, but what I
love. Good luck signing up because right. I'm moving out.
So, what a lot of these kids need when they do crimes like this is that they need to go into the military. Now, this is a guy from Tacoma. He's from Bremerton. He's facing
a base right there. How convenient.
Right. He's facing 10 felony counts, which would be what I mean, that's up to a decade in prison. Or you could take that skill set that he has and you could take that rage that he has and you could take that, I don't know, unrefined motivation that he has and you could turn him into a nice little a member of our fine armed forces.
A nice drone-driving killing machine.
I know a guy.
I'm with you, man.
I know a guy who he was a guy that I knew from way back in the day. He was a World of Warcraft addict. So he would spend, you know, every day after school, he went immediately home, played World of Warcraft until 11 o'clock, fell asleep, woke up, went to school, rinse, wash, repeat. The guy had no life in front of him whatsoever. He goes to community college. He hates it. He's in a deep depression. He's playing World of Warcraft all day long. Doesn't have a girlfriend. Doesn't have a life. Somewhere along the lines, he gets it in his gumption that he needs to go and join the military. So what does he do with all those skills that he has on the computer? Beep, boop, beep, boop. He ends up going over to South Korea and doing basically intel, right? So he's behind a computer all day looking at data, deciphering the data, and then going back to the base and playing World of Warcraft. And he's better as a result of it, right? So he has a career, he has a goal, and he gets to play World of Warcraft all he wants, you know, supporting our men and women overseas. Right.
That's exactly what they need.
That's what this guy, that's what, if I was king of the world, that's what I would do with this individual.
I would give him, look, so here's what it costs to send a SWAT unit to a residence. Let's say it's $17,000.
Right.
You've done 20 of them. Give us $340,000 in restitutions or jail time or both, or join the military and use those skills to be a productive member of your nation.
Yeah, I would say mandatory service for 10 years. That's what I would have. Man. I would have him sign a contract of, this is quote unquote voluntary, right?
Yep,
so he signs a contract and he goes into the military and he can use all those skill sets that he developed harming people to actually try to help people, and maybe send him to, you know, I don't know, computer land where they can learn about, you know, espionage or whatever it
sure.
is. And
he
can,
he's got acumen. Yeah.
Right. And he can hack into Vladimir Putin's, you know, personal database and find out what pictures he's stored of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, and we would all be better for it. Or you could ruin his life forever. But again, I'm not king of the world and people don't listen to me, even though they should.
I'm going to save this tape and send it. Send it to Bob Ferguson.
Should we, we got way off track, but I did want to talk about, I really just briefly wanted to touch on the ratings from CNN are bad. And I know that we like to talk about Fox a lot. I know that we like to talk about, you know, as a network, but I just think it's fair to also recognize when there are other networks who are as partisan, who are as bad, and point out what they're doing wrong. And this is from the AP, by the way. And what's so interesting about this is, like, this is the however many month in a row that they are just not doing well whatsoever. This is after losing Cuomo. This is after Lemon got moved to. And I think, Spike, I don't know if you share this opinion with me or not, but I think the biggest problem with CNN, it wasn't so much the news that they did. It was the smug nature of it. I could not stand Don Lemon. I could not stand Chris Cuomo. They were just so smug and so puffy, and so the way that they would deliver the news and kind of construct their opinions was just so off-putting to me, you know. And so I could never really kind of vibe with it in the same way. Like, there are certain guys in the news that I can watch, and there are other people that I just can't, even if I don't agree with those people.
Right.
Like, I can watch Glenn Beck pontificate on a number of issues. I don't agree with him
all day. Yeah,
you bet. But as a radio guy, I can go, okay, that's Glenn Beck, and he's got some charm and he's got some skill to it, right?
Right.
If you ask me to sit down and watch Chris Cuomo pontificate about COVID-19, I would rather not. I would rather turn off all the power in my house and hide under my bed for an hour than have to watch Chris Cuomo do anything.
I do give him credit for learning to speak so well with a silver spoon in his mouth. I give him credit for that. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. If there are guys, I mean, when you can make Sean Hannity look compassionate and engaging and endearing, you really don't have the charisma to be on TV.
Right, right. So, and this was, I think this is one of the things that they did wrong at CNN, is they thought that your average person wanted to watch, you know, $20 million a year Don Lemon talk about racial inequality, when it's not, people weren't into it. You didn't have the same charisma as other individuals. I mean, at least Rachel Maddow makes jokes. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
At least
I love her. I love
cracks
her.
You know, wise every so often. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, or, you know, Chris Hayes, at least on occasion, takes his glasses off and says something interesting that but who else is, what's his name? Shepard?
Shep Smith.
Right. Used to be on Fox.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some people out there that I can say, okay, I can vibe. But the cast at CNN, it was like Anderson Cooper. It's like, please. Oh, my God. Well, see,
when I see CNN's ratings tanking month after month after month, what I see is CNN making a concerted effort to return to unbiased journalism. And that's not what their audience wants.
No, very true. Very true.
I mean, when you talk about, you know, let's talk massive ratings, right?
Yeah.
And you got to mention Fox News at that point. And this debacle of the Dominion voting systems trial and the disclosure of all this information behind the scenes at Fox News, you got to say that they're telling a story and that their opinion shows, and we'll fall back on that caveat because it's fair. To say that their opinion shows and their daytime shows really didn't push the same narrative that their nighttime shows pushed, and their ratings are through the roof. So tell me that, you know, they are smart enough, and it's going to be their undoing, to give the audience what it wants, not what a responsible journalistic institution would be giving their audience. I mean, when you're sending out emails, we got to quit fact-checking the president. It's bad for business. I mean, that's a pretty damning email to get out to the public. So if I see CNN to crater like they're doing, because they were trying to play in that same arena of pandering to an audience.
Yes.
And they were doing that and coming in, what, fourth, if they were lucky?
Yeah, if they were lucky.
So they got away from that. Let's go back to our roots. We were the original news, you know, channel CNN, all news, all the time.
Yeah.
And they got back to not pandering, and nobody cares what they say.
Yeah, I would say, if I could give some advice to the fine people over at CNN, is if you're going to have opinion hosts, they have to have a little bit of pizzazz,
it's charisma,
a little bit of edge. They have to have a little bit, they have to be genuine and maybe a little messy. You can't have Cuomo up there singing his brother's praises while, you know what I mean, during COVID. You can't have Don Lemon, who's basically putting himself to sleep with his own voice.
Really did.
Brutal. You got to have someone who's got just a smidgen of charisma and just, you know, some charm in there to crack a couple jokes, maybe make fun of Joe Biden a little bit, and then they do the news. That's really, you can't have this really kind of, the country is falling apart kind of thing from these figures, because it just doesn't work. It doesn't play well. People don't like it.
I'd rather have Lululemon do the news and call it newser size and watch a bunch of, watch all the ladies Fox kicked off for sexual harassment lawsuits, put them over on CNN for Lululemon news.
Right, or even, you know, I don't know, get somebody who's maybe a little dangerous. Maybe you got someone you got to quote-unquote suspend every once in a while because they cross the line.
Chris Rock.
There you go. That's a good one. All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Spike O'Neill, we shall be talking to one Aaron Granillo about why I need to care about baseball, because I believe baseball is not interesting. But Aaron's going to convince me when we get back right after this. Joining us is the world famous Aaron Granillo, the man with the golden pipes. That's right.
Famous.
Infamous.
So, Aaron, you, not only are you Cairo Radio's hardest working news anchor, but you are also the biggest Mariners fan that I know, correct?
I don't know.
Obsessed.
Do you know any other Mariner fans?
No.
Okay, then. All right. Then, yes. Spike is here. He's a big Mariner guy.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, this is my problem, and I'm going to be just totally transparent with you. Sports and Jack Stein are not a good – we don't get along.
Okay.
And when I watch baseball, which I have watched countless games of, I am bored. Mm. It is a boring sport to watch. I'm just going to say it. Now, I know that Mike Salk came out today, and he said that this is the season to watch.
Yep.
And I love Mike Salk. I think that his hot takes are great. I got to say, though, if I was talking to Mike, I said, Mike, I don't watch baseball. So why do you think that I should be engaged this season? Well, why is it that everybody's talking about it?
Before I answer that, why are you bored of the game? Is it because it's slow?
It's slow, and it's there's things that I don't understand, and
the
then
nuances
like when,
of the game, yeah, sure,
right, okay. And then for some reason, every so often, the pitcher and the batter will get angry at each other, and they will look at look at each other.
You don't like that part?
Well,
a little stare down,
a little chin music, you don't like that? A little high tight. Come on.
Now.
They, they look at each other like they're feral cats, and then they fight, and then I feel bad because I'm an empath. So it just, for me, it's like there's a lot of tea, a lot of nicotine going on, a lot of big league chew.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. So baseball has made changes just for you, Jack Stein.
Okay.
Just for you. Because the people who think the game is slow, it's going to speed up. And they proved it during spring training. So they've implemented these new rules that do speed up the pace of the game. Average game times last season and for however long baseball has been played, been about 3 hours. During spring training, they shaved off about 30 minutes. So it's about a 2.5 hour game now based on these new rules. The biggest, there are a few of them, but I'll go through the three biggest rule changes that will inevitably speed up the game and cause more action on the base paths, more offense, more excitement is what we're all hoping for. So the pitch clock is the first big change. We never used to have a pitch clock. A pitcher could take as long as he wanted to throw the ball. A batter could step out of the box as long as he wanted and wait for the pitch to be thrown. That changes this year. 15 seconds is the pitch clock if there is no runner on base. If there's a runner on base, then the pitcher has 20 seconds to throw the ball. The reason being, a pitcher will want to keep the runner honest. That is to say, keep the look over at the runner on first base or second base. So he needs a little bit of extra time there. The other addition to that pitch clock rule is the batter has to be in the box with 8 seconds left on the pitch clock. The consequences for this now. So if a batter is not in the batter's box ready to go with 8 seconds left, automatic strike. If a pitcher does not throw the ball within that 15 or 20 seconds, automatic ball, advantage batter in that case. How do you feel about that? Did I explain that well?
You explained that very, very well. But this is my problem I want to see, like, when you watch basketball, it's just points, 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 points.
Yeah, that's boring.
It's about an hour, maybe hour and a half long, and then everybody goes their merry way and everyone's totally fine. With baseball, I feel like there's just, I mean, 2.5 hours is a Scorsese movie. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That's a long time to invest.
So you want somebody to get whacked about the bottom of the eighth? Keep it interesting for you, as I was going to take.
Jack, there's so much happening in between each pitch, though. And that's the nuance of the game that I personally love. But I get it. You know, you have to be an avid watcher to know why the shortstop is looking at the third baseman and saying, hey, if this guy goes to second base, here's what's going to happen at home plate, yada, 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 yada.
Okay.
So there are all these situational moments in a game that a lot is happening, even if it doesn't look like something is happening. Another big rule change that I want to tell you about is the defensive shift.
Ooh.
So this it became really popular in the game like within the last decade or so.
Yeah, about 10, 12 years ago they started the shift.
So what happens is all of these super smart analytics guys come into the game of baseball and they say to themselves, hey, this guy likes to hit the ball to the right side of the field like 80% of the time. Let's put the shortstop, who's normally on the left side of the field, to the right side of the field. So now we have three defenders in between first and second base, as opposed to two. So the ball that would have made it through that right side of the infield is now stopped because there's an extra defender there.
Okay.
Fewer hits, less offense, fewer runs. And with fewer runs, less offense, less action, what has happened over the past decade, viewership is way, way down.
You're the CNN of sports, Jack. Exactly. You become the CNN of sports. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants, and especially in today's media landscape.
Seriously.
Where there's so much competition, and you know today's viewer and their attention span is, they want action, and they want it now.
We've got a cricket league in town now. Baseball's got to step up.
Right. Cricket's going to be a big competitor.
So they're getting rid of the defensive shift.
No more shift. No more perversion of the defensive game.
Yeah.
So this will leave more space open for someone to score and then...
Yes. Okay. Yes. So when I was growing up, I mean, you would always call them seeing eye singles, right? So where the ball goes where the guy ain't, right? So it just kind of finds a little space between the first and second baseman that, boom, it's a single. The last 10 years, those singles have been outs automatically because there's a guy plugging up that hole where the ball is going to go. Another change that I want to tell you about is the bases are actually physically bigger. They're like 3 inches bigger,
yep,
which might not sound like a lot. Spike, what are you?
This one drives me nuts.
Might not sound like a lot, but if you ever watch a bang bang play at second base, if a guy's stealing first and going to second, I mean, you're talking boom. It could be a fraction of a second where the ball meets the mitt and the mitt touches the guy's hand,
yeah,
proving if he's safe or out. You now have that little bit. That little extra
we shortened each route by 3 inches.
Exactly.
We really did, in every direction.
Yeah, and that's gonna cause more runners to want to steal bases, which inevitably is going to put guys in scoring position and more runs, more offense. So you have faster pitch clock, so the game moves faster. You have more offense with the balls getting through the infield more often. And you have guys running the bases a little bit more. Now,
okay,
I say all of this in the first game today with the Yankees. I was talking to one of our other sports fans in the newsroom. 17 strikeouts in that game. So,
wow.
So much for offense.
Not much offense. Yeah. Now, take that with a grain of salt, though, because everybody on opening day is throwing out their best pitcher.
Right.
So
get off on the right
a
foot.
Lot of filthy stuff is being thrown today.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm compelled to now investigate to see
how it's changed. Check it out.
I'll check it out. I'll see if I'm into it. I'll see if I can get the nuance down. Maybe some of the signs. Do the
right
whole tap into the face,
Jack,
and whatnot.
Are there any sports that you really love? Are you a sports fan at all?
No.
We won't start with baseball. Let's start with rollerball. It starts with rollerball. You love the contact. You love the blood and the teeth.
And this is also the year in Seattle. It's very exciting. We are legitimate contenders. We are expected to make the postseason and potentially go deep. We have a bona fide superstar in Julio Rodriguez. And he's great. He's 22 only. But there are a lot of stars around him, too, that people aren't talking about. So the Mariners, they are supposed to be good. And for the first time, because they've ended the drought last season, people actually have expectations now.
You know, you mentioned Mike Salk, Jack, and his article today on SeattleSports710.com or MyNorthWest.com is a better link. It might be one of the best written pieces I've ever seen. It's so well written. Salk knows, and Salk will tell you why you should care. If you're ever going to jump into baseball, this is here in the city to do it right here, buddy.
Let's go.
We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with a story from me and how it involves Toby Keith's song, Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, coming up right after this. All right. So, Spike, I don't know if you ever heard the song Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue by Toby Keith. Have you ever heard that song?
I have heard it. Toby Keith is great. I think it's pretty pedantic from country music perspectives. It's kind of the kind of thing you could write from a lounge chair next to a grill full of hot dogs.
Right. So last night, I tend to go to sleep pretty early, Spike, because I take some supplements to help me sleep, because I'm a very, due to all the trauma in my life, I wake up, if there's a light breeze outside, I wake up in a cold sweat.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? That's all right. It happens. Thankfully, God has blessed us with pharmaceutical medications to knock us out and help us enter a nice, restful sleep. So last night I go to sleep, and then around, I want to say midnight-ish, I wake up to bass, the of bass, right?
Okay.
And I'm thinking, Joe's having a party. I'm thinking Joe is having a party. So I crack my window to see what is going on, because Joe lives right next to me, right down the road from me on a little fire road in a little house.
Right.
So, and what I hear is Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. Can we play this really quick? I hear this loud. And I think, this is an odd thing to play at 12:30 at night. So, you can kill it. So I go, I will walk over to Joe's and I will remind Joe that it's Wednesday, or at this point in time, Thursday, but I will remind Joe that people have to go to work the following day, and I've done this many times in the past. So I walk over there, and as I walk over, the song is just like, it is loud. I mean, it is so loud that the bass is primarily what you hear. Do you know what I mean? The coming out of Joe's house.
Oh, yeah.
So I go over to Joe's front door, which is open, by the way. And I go, well, this is bizarre. And I was thinking to myself that Joe was having a party, but it's just an open door with loud music coming through. And then I see Joseph, and he is on his couch. And it's basically the scene from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas where Benicio del Toro is in the bathtub in his underwear. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly the scene you're talking about.
So Joe is in his underwear. He's sitting there, completely blown out of his mind, enjoying a nice glass of beer. And he's just listening to Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, like the Who loud. Do you know what I mean? Like, it is uncomfortable. Oh, yeah. So I'm going, Joe, you know, I'm really trying to get his attention. And he slowly, almost like when Dracula wakes up, just slowly turns towards me. And I go, it's too loud. And he goes, and he holds up his hand like he acknowledges what is, and he goes, hold on, I can't hear you. So I go, Joe, I got to get up and I got to go to work tomorrow. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. The problem is that, you know, normally I'd be very upset with Joe, but I'm currently in negotiations to adopt Wally from him, right? We're talking about it.
This is Wally's dad.
Wally's dad. And so I'm trying to get kind of butter up Joe on this proposal, which he is considering at this point in time. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, this is the end of this. I'm not going to have to call the cops. I fool you not, Spike. For whatever reason, Joe was so messed up that he kept the song on repeat and he kept falling asleep and just blasting this song. So I heard it no less than a dozen times last night. And it would stop and I would go, oh, thank God. And then a couple seconds later, just boom, it would start right back up.
So I had to keep
going down to his house.
Yeah, even though you're back at the front door. And he rolls over and gives you that smile. Yeah, hold on, let me turn yours down a minute. Right. What were you saying?
So after the fifth or sixth,
you got to work again tomorrow. I thought that was yesterday.
I go, Joe. Can you just please turn off Siri? Can you please just unplug it? And he goes, brother, I'll take care of it. But he's so blown out of his mind that he was going maybe 10 minutes max before just picking up right where we left off. So finally,
how many times did you go through this?
I went down there 4 or 5 times.
Oh,
and so
dude.
The final time, and I will remember this moment because this is the moment that I looked at. I woke up and I just said, well, I'm up now. 5:22 a.m. I hear the and I just go, yeah.
Sorry, it's too easy not to throw at you now.
So I go, well, I guess I'm just going to start my day now. And that's when I found out that Jonathan Cho had been almost assaulted downtown with a baseball bat. And that's when I had the idea, well, we should invite Jonathan Cho on to talk about.
So we should thank Joe for this.
We should thank Joe
for this.
I'm
going to send him a boombox. Big speaker boombox. poor guy.
Yeah. And so the thing is, normally I would call the police after time number two, right? But right. I really want him to agree to let me adopt this cat. So I'm just kind of biding my time before I get my name on Wally's microchip, and then I can call the cops again.
You are a good man, Jack.
Thank
Stein. You are, because you got patience far beyond my limited.
Oh man, I'll tell you, if Wally wasn't in my house, I you know what I mean, if I didn't look at him every time that I woke up and said I'm gonna adopt you, I would have been irate. But I would wake up, I'd look at Wally, and I would say, you're doing it for him, you're going and you're being nice to Joe for Wally. So it all turned out, you know, but I never want to hear that song again. If I have to hear it again, I won't do it. I mean, you can play it if you want to.
Don't dream it's over. This is what a soother. This
excellent.
Is perfect, man. Yeah.
Coming up next, Jonathan Cho's going to be joining us because he has a very interesting anecdote when he was downtown the other day. And I saw the video and he's going to tell us all about it. He's going to tell you all about it. And we'll be right back right after this.